And now we're going to look at the Gospels. I'm going to do Gospel A, B, and C, and then as it comes up, you'll know. As I do this now, this will be for this year, 2014, it's cycle A. And then you can calculate, of course, but you'll know how to do that. There's just three accounts. They're all doing the same thing. And so I'm going to try to just go through them and then with preaching in mind, what would we want to accent the reality first, okay? Jesus was transfigured. And the radiance of who he really is shone even in this mortal body. And that opens up for us the whole possibility of who Jesus is. It's also, as I've already pointed out, the Transfiguration is the patronal feast of reading Scripture, because the words of the text are his flesh, but they have to open up and reveal who he is. And that's why, and that's a patristic theme, that's not mine. So we're going to do A and B and C so that they're all here now to be used. And so we'll start. Now I'm going to do, sometimes I'm going to go right across. I have a synopsis open here. And after 6 days, now what happened, you see, before that? Why is he saying that? Well, you see, he foretells his passion for the third time. In the text we're going to look at first, that's Mark 16, 21 to 23 is the prediction of the passion. And then, and it's the first one. Now, all of these predictions of the Passion, especially in Mark, but as you can see in a moment, it's so visible in Matthew and Luke, Jesus predicts his Passion, and the disciples make an utterly inept response. And the first one, we're just going to see, oh, Lord, that should never happen to you. And that contravenes the Father's will. So what does Jesus do? He says, out of my way, Satan. His best buddy, the future Pope. Now you're talking like Satan. You're turning me away from the Father's will. And so, out of my way, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men. That's the, I don't have a Greek text. Oh, yes, I do. I think I do. You get the idea. And so then he gives teaching on discipleship. This happens every time there's a prediction of the Passion. The disciples make a totally inept response. Just read them for yourself. There's three in the synoptics. This is the first one. The second one, they're walking along, and he says, what were you talking about? Well, they were talking about who's greatest in the kingdom of God. And the third time, he predicts, James and John go up, along with Mom and Matthew, and say, we want the right and left positions in your kingdom. Utterly unable to understand and accept the mystery of the will of the Father. After, yes, they will. But that's why they treasure this event. Because all of a sudden, when he rose from the dead, the full depth of this opens up for them. And that's why in the second letter of Peter, we find the same thing as we just saw. At that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the scribes and chief priests and elders and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this should ever happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. It's pretty tough talk, isn't it? You see? You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but on the side of man. So then, and it's the same rhythm in Mark, and a little bit in Luke. It's there in Luke as well. After that rebuke, there's teaching. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he gives that teaching, you see? And when he finishes with it, which is long, then it says, and after 6 days in Mark and Matthew, and about 8 days in Luke, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. Well, there's my Greek text. Led them up a high mountain apart, you see? He was transfigured before them. That starts in chapter 17. There it is. Okay. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and he brought them up onto a high mountain by themselves. Now, the text is just about the same, except for little changes there, except that Luke says it's the eighth day. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. This is chapter 17, the first verses in Matthew, and it'll be chapter 9 in Mark and 9 in Luke. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make three booths here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. That gives us a hint, maybe, that this is happening close to the Feast of Sukkot, which means booth. And he's on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Sukkot. And this happens. He was still speaking, and a bright cloud overshadowed, and a voice from heaven, from the cloud, said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, and said, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. Okay. And then as they were coming down the mountain, he said, don't tell anybody. And then the next discussion about Elijah, and then the healing of the boy. But for our purposes, we're looking right now at this transfiguration. You see? And so, in the A cycle, that's the text, you see? The manifestation, which made an impression, it's in that second letter of Peter, by Peter or by a disciple of Peter, but telling us about this, you see? And so, trying to mediate to us this overpowering vision of his glory and his beauty that they had. Okay. Mark, at the same time, and suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Now, the text here in Mark, as you see, after 6 days, Jesus took with him his garments, 6 days after the prediction of the Passion. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with him. See, it's only in Luke that the conversation goes, and he spoke of his departure, of his Passion. And Peter said, Master, it is well that we are here, very close to Matthew. Let us make. See, now that's Mark. In Matthew, I will make three booths, three sukkot, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, for he did not know what to say. Then Mark adds, they were exceedingly afraid, and a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved son. I'm doing this so that when you preachers have this, you have it for whatever, you know, cycle A, cycle B, cycle C. So in cycle B, we're going to be reading that text from Mark. I'll come back and discuss them more at length. Now in Luke, about 8 days later. Why? Hard to know. He took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Only in Luke do we have the notion that they went to pray. See? And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. He was transfigured before them, but no accent on the countenance, as in Luke. Huh? And behold, two men talked with them, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and now again, only in Luke, and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, again, only Luke, you see. And when they wakened, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him, and as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. You see how Luke, they entered the cloud. It's only in Luke. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. And suddenly, you see, when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. The others have something like that. And suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. Origin, typical. You see, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, they merge into Jesus. And so now when you look, you see only Jesus, because that's the one who sums it all up. And so this is the account in all three Gospels. What we're going to do now is look at each one of them slowly, and so that we're ready to preach on these three in the various cycles.